Blog Talk Radio.
This program is proudly produced by an unlicensed and unregistered journalist, blogger, commentator. It is purposely unsanctioned by the United States government, and under new legislation pending in Congress, this program, as well as those who comment and share it online, may be determined by a future court to be criminalistic or terroristic in nature and subject to penalties under U.S. law. Thank you, and may Allah bless our King and the United Soviet States of Detroit.
Oh, look, a unicorn. Oh!
Now, more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now. Now. Now.
Shipmates, welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom. Whatever the hell's left of it. Is anybody in charge in this government? Does anybody take accountability? I was thinking about this this morning. I was up early this morning. I couldn't sleep for whatever reason. I passed out last night during the football game and the World Series. God only knows what the hell happened. I'll have to find out, I guess, after the show. But anywho, I get up early this morning, I'm all jazzed up, making coffee and whatnot, running around. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? And I'm listening to all these stupid stories and reading all this crap. We have the largest government in American history. More people now government than ever before. It's coming dangerously close to surpassing the private sector. Public sector is completely out of control. Now you have all this government, all these bureaus, all these bureaucrats, all these people that are in charge, but nobody is ever responsible. It's everybody else's fault, but nobody else's fault, or not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody's blaming everybody. Look what's going on with this healthcare.gov nonsense, this website. It's a friggin' website. Yeah. How do you, a website, they're made and constructed every day. Glitches are one thing. But when you're, how do you put this? When the foundation on which the website was built is flawed, no, you're never going to get it. Everything needs to be redone, scrapped, and start over, but they never will. That's why we have to repeal it. To think that we're just going to, it's going to collapse on its own is naive, gullible, and dangerous, because it's not going to happen. Their idea of fixing the problem is just adding more government to the problem. Well, the problem is the government. The government created the problem out of thin air. If they were really so concerned with people that were uninsured, they should have done something, well, to get them a job so they can get insurance. But no, they're not going to do that. Of course this isn't going to work. And now you've got all these Californians now. They're waking up. Wait a minute. I voted for Obamacare for other people, not for me. What? No. That's supposed to be for those people. Ooh, yes. You know, the minority crowd. Not for me. I'm white. I'm rich.
I'm a Democrat. That's for those people, not for me. And you want me to pay more? What? Well, Merry Christmas there, California. That place is in trouble. That whole state is in trouble. This is what liberalism buys you. Nothing more. It buys you Detroit. It buys you now getting dangerously close to California. It's only a matter of time before the entire state of California looks like Detroit. It's only a matter of time for all of the Democrat, all the blue states. Look at all the states that are run by Democratic of governance, and then look at the Republican ones. The Republicans are solvent. Their unemployment is down. They create jobs. They don't have an overtax problem because, well, I'm not saying they're completely responsible with the taxpayers' money, but they're a little bit more than the Democrats, enough to where they don't have to keep raising taxes because they overspend and too many people are on the dole and get all kinds of little kickbacks. See, that's what Democrats do. It's a little club. So once you're in that club, of course, you're going to use the taxpayers' money, well, to give you benefits. You know, you're going to get campaign donations. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. All these little kickbacks, all these little contracts. This was a no-bid contract for healthcare.gov, and it just so happens, coinkydink, that one of the Queen's friends in college, well, is like some big mucky muck in the company that was hired to design the website. So when you, I mean, you're not, I mean, I'm not pointing fingers that, you know, they were in cahoots with each other. It wouldn't surprise me if they were or they weren't. But overall, when you look at when Democrats are in charge of anything, you see nothing but everything that doesn't work. That's all you get. One unfixable problem after another. And in order for them to fix the problem, the problem just keeps getting bigger and bigger. That's their idea of fixing the problem. Just create a bigger problem. And then you can blame Republicans more. It's only about winning the election. It has nothing to do with any of the issues, any of the real problems. For whatever reason, they love to see people suffer. I don't get it. Why create chaos and complications when it's not warranted? Nobody wants it. Nobody can afford it. It's time people woke up. This Obamacare, this needs to be scrapped altogether. Thrown in a trash can, set a fire, and then shoot the ashes out into space so it can no longer pollute planet Earth. We don't need people like Mr. McCain and Mr. McConnell and all these weak tits in there in the Republican Party who are afraid to fight for whatever reason, unless they've got some kind of monetary investments into this. Or maybe they got pictures of themselves with little boys dressed in cowboy suits or something. They got to have some kind of dirt on them. Something's got to be up. Otherwise, nobody comes. If you're going to be a conservative like you say you are, well, no, you have to be able to see that what you're doing is, well, not right. And if not, well, then you, well, pack up your bags, you know, clean out your office, and go back to the ranch. If you're not going to fight the fight, then, hey, get off the ship. Well, walk the plank. Go home. We don't need you. We need fighters. We need the Ted Cruzes, the Rand Pauls. People are going to stand up and say enough. We need Americans. We need Americans in Congress. We don't need any more politicians. We don't need any more of these bureaucrats that have been in public service their entire lives. We need people that have been on the outside, who knows exactly what it's like to starve. Literally. Who knows what it's like to work 2-3 jobs 7 days a week until you collapse, literally. Someone who knows what it's like basically to be married to a company, basically to be a slave, to work and to work and to work. We need those people who know what it's like on the outside. You cannot govern if you've never been on the outside. Most of these people have either had their parents in government or what have you not. They've had connections their whole lives. They have no idea how the outside world actually lives. If they happen to catch a TV show every once in a while, they find it interesting. So that's how people buy things. They go to a store, actually purchase it, then bring it home. And then they got to cook it themselves. There's no maids. Ugh. We need these people who understand what it's like to actually, pinch your pennies so you can, make it through the next month. These people have no idea. They've never had to balance a checkbook. They've always had accountants do that for them. They've never had to do it themselves. They're not spending their money. They're spending your money. This is your money that they're spending. So don't you think it would behoove of us to put somebody in there that is one of us? Stands that you can't spend other people's money like that? If you're going to spend your money like that, that's one thing. But to spend somebody else's money like that, you can't do that. That's not right. There's no integrity in that. That's not what government is for. Government is not to turn people into gazillionaires. On the taxpayer's dollar. Now, if you go into Congress and you find yourself a nice investment and you become a gazillionaire, that's one thing. But you're not doing it on the taxpayer's dollar. You can't gamble with other people's money. And now when it doesn't work, instead of realizing, wait a minute, we're spending too much money here is why it isn't working, go ahead and let's spend more money. Then we'll get it to work. So we've come close to, God only knows, these estimates on this healthcare.gov. Estimates of anywhere where they've already spent close to $400 billion and there's still more money owed. Well, I wouldn't pay. Well, I'm not so convinced that you can really put a lot of the blame on these companies that were designing this website. Yeah, granted, they're not the brightest of bulbs in the bunches, but these directives and these hiccups were all caused by, pretty sure the president had something to say in these meetings. I'm sure Valerie Jarrett had a lot to say. Kathleen Sebelius, she pretty much sat there and kept her mouth shut. All the advisors, they're the ones governing this country. It's just a select few people. It's supposed to be the Congress, the governors, the people. Government is all supposed to be working together. There's not supposed to be just a certain group of people that are controlling all the shots. Yeah, does it happen in every administration to a certain degree? Yes, I'm sure. This is beyond that, though. This is beyond much more than most people can handle, much more than I can handle. And people are starting to realize, wait a minute now. I voted for this guy. I voted for this guy so people wouldn't think that I'm a racist. And look what he's doing to me, damn it. Well, maybe if you were, took the time to actually research what the hell it is that you were actually voting for rather than what you wanted to vote against. George Bush wasn't in the first election when Obama was running. granted McCain of I don't think McCain would have been a good president. I like John McCain, but I just don't think he would have been a good president. But once we had the first, once we had a taste of what this administration was all about, there was no excuse to give it another opportunity, another 4 years. There's no excuse for that. That was unacceptable. That, to me, that's unacceptable. Can't build a website. That's unacceptable to me. Shut up. He had to go out there and feign like he was really upset. He could care less. There is no care in that man's voice at all.
Oh, this is unacceptable. It says right there on my teleprompter. So I must be. Wow. I'm upset.
Not very convincing. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. They're doing it deliberately. They're doing this on purpose. This is so the government can swoop in and save the day again with another $1 trillion. Do we really want to trust that again? They took $1 trillion for a stimulus package that went to nothing except for, well, to repay, you know, some unions and some friends who donated a lot of money so they can open up a green company and just to go bankrupt. So they got all the money. Everybody, all these executives got a nice little bonus. And all these Occupy Wall Street, did they even bother to think that their own president was the one doing most of the Wall Street damage that you were protesting against? No. No. Every White House, to a certain degree, is going to be in bed with Wall Street. Democrats have been in bed with Wall Street for many years. There is... Truth be told, there's more money in Wall Street from the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. That I'm going to go ahead and put my chips down on. And if you pay attention, you'll see the evidence. I don't have to point it out to you. But it's there. And it's real. So anyway... Let's open up my treasure chest here this morning. You want to be part of the program? 646-716-7978. 646-716-7978. Be a part of the program. Don't be shy. And don't be rude. Just be cool. You want to ask a question? You want to argue? That's fine. I can deal with it. Just don't go over the line. That's all I'm saying. And I'll try to do the same, I guess. But anywho, first thing out of the box, I took a peek in the treasure chest here. I have no idea what's in here today. No idea. But I did put this one in here. I found this very interesting. The real Lone Ranger was actually a black man. He was a black lawman who lived with American Indians. He had an Indian, you know, friend and went with him, master of disguises. It's pretty cool. So we'll find out about that story. I thought that was actually pretty interesting. Let's go into that right now and just get it going. Where is it? Yeah. So the real Lone Ranger, it turns out, was a black man. His name was Bass Reeves. Anyway, he, I guess, was playing poker with his master. And, well, I guess Mr. Reeves, he won the game. And, well, the master, well, attacked him. So Mr. Reeves turned around and beat him within an inch of his life. Some say that he was dead, and others whatever. But he realized, hey, man, I can't be sticking around here beating a master like this. You know, I'm gonna be die. So he hightailed it into the hills of Oklahoma, found some Indian tribes and was living with them, became a lawman, was actually a deputy marshal, actually. Nobody knew that. There was actually a black deputy marshal, and this was 60, something like that. Could have been before Civil War, after. After Civil War concluded, he married and eventually fathered 10 children. Wow. Oh, so anyway, so after the Civil War. Yeah, so it was after the Civil War. He made a living at being a deputy U.S. Marshal in Arkansas. Imagine that, in Arkansas? That was a slave state. But he became a deputy marshal in Arkansas and in the Indian Territory. He actually did have a, you know, companion. He gave out, instead of giving out silver bullets, he gave out silver coins. So there's a lot. He was a crack shot, I guess, with a gun. Him and his little, they didn't give the Indian name of Tonto, which they would have, but maybe they don't know it. But they captured over 3,000 criminals they apprehended. Imagine that. Well, once Hollywood got to it, and, you know, like the story in the 30s, oh, we can't have it a black man. Oh, no, he's got to be a white guy. Mm-hmm. Well, evidently with the mask, that whole thing, I guess he was a master of disguises. He used to dress up and look like he was one of the bad guys. He'd find his way in there, capture him somehow, and boom, bring him back to justice. Guy was pretty clever. So, you know, I just thought that was interesting. I didn't even know the Lone Ranger was a real character anyway. I didn't know he was real. I thought it was a Hollywood character. I had no idea there was really was a Lone Ranger. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. And what do you know? A black guy. But Hollywood, no, they're not racist. Can't have it up. And this is another thing that I was thinking about with, what the hell's his name? Oh, damn it. I am so terrible with names. Johnny Depp, when he played Tonto in the latest Lone Ranger, which the movie shouldn't have been called Lone Ranger. It should have been called Tonto. The movie, they barely even had the Lone Ranger in there. They didn't cover his story. They covered Tonto's story. But if somebody like Johnny Depp, who hates America because they're racist, now lives in France and has been there for several years, you would think that he would demand, because you know that he does his research. He knows this research. He does it all, boy. He really gets right down to the bottom of it. You would think that he would demand that Hollywood make The Lone Ranger a black man. That's what Hollywood should have done. It might have been a better film. It should have been about the Lone Ranger. It shouldn't have been about Tonto. This is the problem with Hollywood that just pisses me off. They should never be allowed to do anything regarding history. They just can't do it right. There's nothing wrong with writing the truth. I don't understand why Hollywood has to twist the history. I don't get it. Because you don't like the history, you want to change it? Well, I wish I could change history myself. Boy, God almighty, would I change a lot in history. Woo! But you can't. Ay, 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 ay. On and on and on and on and on and on. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm done. Screw it. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting. I wanted to start with that. So what else have we got in my treasure chest here? Obama administration knew millions could not keep their health insurance. But did he tell you that? Nope. Nope. No. Sure, you can keep it. Sure. You can keep it until I take it away from you. Sure, you can keep it. Absolutely. Love you, Doc. Sure, you can keep it. Absolutely. Right here in your heart. It'll never go away. It's called a memory. Mm-hmm. All you people who voted, you were told. How many times were you people told that you were not going to be able to keep your doctor? How many times were you told that your payments were not going to go down, that it was going to be much more expensive? And now you're waking up and going, wait a minute, my premiums are going up? I'm losing my doctor? Wait a minute, whoa! President said, but he said, yeah, and we also said, too, that you weren't going to get that. And what did you do? Well, you argued with us. You called us racists. Because we told you that your health care was not going to be what the president promised you. We were the racists. Well, who's the racist now? Who's the idiot, I should say? Who is the idiot now? You. I don't feel sorry for any of these people. You start seeing these stories, these people in California, you see it on the news every day now. Every day, the evening news got to have people over there talking about their Obamacare woes. Well, they're trying to get people to have positive stories. Let's have a positive story about Obamacare. Well, there just aren't any. The media is having grave difficulty in finding positive stories. Well, they had that one after the health care opened up like the second day or third day, and the media was jumping up. I mean, the administration was jumping on this guy. Oh, yeah, that's great. Let's interview him. And then they come to find out this jack wagon worked with one of the president's community organizations, and he didn't even sign up for it. All he did was tweet it. They put it on that stupid tweet. First of all, Twitter sucks. What is the point of that? I don't get that stupid point of Twitter. And it's so just, I don't like the name. I'm going to send a tweet. A what? I'm not sending a tweet. Yeah, tweet this. How about that for a tweet? No more tweets. I hate that stupid Twitter. And people talk, oh, I got to write on my fans and let them know. Yeah. You're not doing anything. You're sitting behind a machine. And you got to let your fans know that you're sitting behind a machine talking to them. Well, they know that. Who cares? Go out and live, for Christ's sakes. And shut up with that stupid Twitter. God almighty. Ah. Alaskan company suspends Obamacare enrollments. Mm-hmm. Salt's fighty subsidy calculator. So people who think they're going to get this great, wonderful subsidy find out, well, no, you're not. All these people think, oh, look at this great plan I got. Wow, look at this. It's only a monthly payment, and then you come to find out here comes your bill. Uh-oh, wait a minute. That's another one of the problems. They can't get a calculator to friggin' work. How long have calculators been on planet Earth? Quite a while. Quite a while. For $600 billion, $800 billion, or $1 trillion, whatever the cost is finally going to end up costing us, you would think they would be able to find, well, a website that can, well, calculate. Maybe they're using Common Core mathematics. That's probably why they can't calculate it. Because these young whippersnappers who are IT techies, they learned their math in school. The Common Core math, that's why they can't figure this out. They can't design it right. They can't, well, I can't figure this out. Wait a minute. That's another one of the problems. When people think what they've signed up already, you think that's going to be your bill every month? You think that's going to be your deductible? No, wait till it goes through its proper process. Because it takes 2 weeks before it's completely processed. They need people to process them. So we need more people on government payroll now to process your paperwork. And once they find out that, well, there's not enough money to pay for everything, that payment is going to go up. Your deductible is going to go up. The out-of-pocket costs are going to go up. Your care is going to go down. You're going to have places, the nearest doctor that will be able to see you could be close to 100 miles away. You know that's going to happen. They're going to have some cockamamie plan because they're on, what do they call it, colors. They got the gold, silver, bronze, and the lead, whatever the hell it is. Well, if you're in one plan and this doctor over here, he can't cover the bronze. All he can do is cover the gold and the platinum. So the nearest doctor that can cover the bronze, well, he's 100 mile east. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Well, get your bus ticket. Get it now. I mean, good God. You know that's what's going to happen. There's going to be more and more and more problems. That's why it's so important to get rid of it, Mr. McCain, Ms. King, Mr. McConnell. You cannot expect this bill to collapse on its own. Yes, it will collapse, but they will not get rid of it. They're just going to keep dumping more and more and more money from the American people, billions and possibly trillions of dollars into a system that cannot and never will be able to work. Why can't you people see that? Didn't bother you to take that $2.9 billion pork sandwich.
Oh, but I didn't know that was in there. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Oh, it wasn't my fault. I didn't request it. Oh, no, that was Dianne Feinstein who requested it. No, it wasn't me.
Yeah, but you agreed to it. You should have demanded that not be in there. Government's been shut down over spending, so what does he do? Takes a $2.9 billion pork sandwich to open up the government. You're fired. Nearly 1.5 million lose their health insurance due to Obamacare. Oh, it's happening already. It's more and more. 1.5 million now. All in all, most people can keep it. Then it's going to be, well, some people can be able to keep their health. The truth is, nobody's going to be able to keep their plan or their doctor. So this is what you people voted for. You've got no one to complain to but yourselves. Go straight into the bathroom, look in the mirror. That's where your problem is. You. You voted for it. You deserve it. Shut up. Global warming gets nearly twice as much taxpayer money. Here it is. As border security. Imagine that. Imagine that. This day and age, with all the terrorism throughout the world, all the people that hate America, for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly, whatever, however you want to look at it. But it is a dangerous world out there. It's always been and always will be. But right now, it's sophisticatedly dangerous. And we're going to be spending twice as much money on something that doesn't exist. Against something that does exist. Yeah, there are people crossing the border that have no business being over in this country, and they do want to hurt us. And don't think for one second that these smugglers are not smuggling in young girls for prostitutes. Don't think that for one damn second. But they can't stop them. They have to allow those little girls to be kidnapped, basically. Smuggled into the United States and used as prostitutes, and we have to allow them to do it. The Border Patrol has to allow that to happen, because if that Border Patrol arrests them, well, then that Border Patrol, well, he's going to be in trouble. Oh, no, that's not a problem at all. No. No, that's fine. Sure. Good God. We're really screwed now. NSA's best friend just shivved the spies. Miss Dianne Feinstein. Oh, God almighty. This girl, I mean, with all these people with all these college degrees, but they are the most incompetent, stupid people on earth. What the hell are they teaching people? How do you get a degree? How do you go through college and get all these degrees and be that stupid? How do these people do it? How do you do it? I'm glad that I'm an idiot. I'd much rather be an idiot than be these people. I'm the idiot, according to them. Oh, I went to college, but I don't have a degree in this. And I'm not an intellectual, and I don't read communist propaganda. What do I know? I don't know anything. No, you're a commoner. You're one of those. That's right. I'm an American, and I'm damn proud of it. I'm not flashy. I'm not this. I'm just me. I could care less whether you like me or not. I could care less. It's not about that. It's about being me. It's about being free. If I wanted to be like you, I would be. But what would be the point? There'd be two yous? White House okayed spying on the Allies, U.S. intelligence officials say, and they are pissed. See, this is what happens when you keep passing the buck. That's the whole thing I was starting off. Nobody wants to take any blame. You got the biggest government in the history of this country. But nobody's responsible. Well, how can we have all these bureaus that are supposedly supposed to be responsible, but nobody's responsible? How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, when you start finger-pointing because you don't want the blame coming to you, well, people, they can only take so much of that. And then, yes, you are going to have whistleblowers. And if you keep pointing your finger and blaming a certain department that had nothing to do with it, yeah, they're going to strike back. Now you got the U.S. spies. They're all pissed off at Obama. He knew exactly what the hell was going on, and he directed it. If he didn't do it, Valerie Jarrett did. But he okayed it. So if you're going to okay it, you're going to be the president where the buck stops with you. And if you okay something, that's just like you coming up with the idea yourself. I mean, no different. Iran is only 2 weeks away now from weapons-grade uranium. Really? Wow. Gee, that's headline news? We've known that for a long time. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that they've already had it. Now, this brings the question, what the hell's going to happen here? They're 2 weeks away from weapons-grade uranium, which means they are not very far away from completely constructing a bomb. Now, will they use it? Well, I don't know. Is Israel going to attack them? Saudi Arabia doesn't care for Iran all that much. Is the United States going to attack them? Now, is because Iran's got a nuclear program, is Obama going to have to get going to have to be cowboy over there, start attacking Iran? No, because Putin's over there now. Putin's in charge of the Middle East now. Obama's got to ask permission to enter Middle East waters, much less Middle East land. Jiminy Christmas. I don't know what the hell we voted for, man. I didn't vote for this crap. But this country needs to turn around real quick. We are weak amongst the world, which is dangerous. People don't realize, yeah, it's very easy for somebody to come in over here and take this entire country over. Yeah, we'll fight like hell. But if we don't have any resources to fight, we're screwed. This administration is taking more and more and more and more of it away from us, which is their point. It just seems like an evil little plot that you would read in like a dime novel or something. This seems a little surreal, but it's not. It is real, 100% real. 100 pro-abortion storytelling events organized across the country. What? I read something about this last night. Good God almighty. I mean, it's pathetic. Pathetic.
Oh, we want to have stories, the positive side of abortion.
Yeah, having your baby yanked out of your vagina in pieces and then thrown into a trash can.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's how abortions are. For a party that practices or claims to practice peace and love and hate killing of any kind. Nothing but hate and discontent comes out of their mouths. They can't wait to go out and get pregnant so they can get themselves an abortion. That way all the ladies on the block are going to, wow, they're going to, you know, you're going to get your, you know, your first abortion celebration party. I guess they would call it an abortion shower. That's what it seems like. Some kind of rite of passage, you know, you can't be a real woman these days unless you've had, you know, at least one abortion. Abortion is not something you want to promote, though, if you really know what abortion really is. Most people, I don't think, do. But they promote it. Why? Well, because I'm a Democrat, and I was told to. And Republicans hate it because they're haters. So we hate them. Doesn't matter what they want. Whatever they want, we hate. Yeah. We're not the haters. They are. Yeah. We're into peace and love. Yeah. Let's go kill the baby. Good God. All right. The Obama administration knew that millions could not keep their health insurance. Oh, all these stories are starting to come out, man. Things are starting to, you can see it if you're paying attention. You can see things really starting to unravel. The lines are starting to unravel on all over the place. You had the IRS unraveling. That, you know, that's still kind of on the back burner. NSA is unraveling all over the place. You've got this healthcare.gov. That's unraveling all over the place. Our foreign policy is, that's been unraveled. That's just, there's nothing left of that. We don't have a foreign policy anymore. Especially when the other countries now are offering to buy our Secretary of State lunch because our government can't seem to stay open long enough to pay him. I mean, this is embarrassing. Everything this administration does is embarrassing. Benghazi is not only embarrassing, it just makes me furious. To think that we knew what the hell was going to happen. It just seems obvious to me. I'm sorry, but there's too much evidence there to suggest that we did not know this was going to happen. It's like we were planning it. We were part of the plan. Well, we got rid of all of our security for you, so we're ready to go. We got those 400 surface-to-air missiles in there. You can go in and take them. Make it look good. I'm not saying they ordered to kill four people, but I mean, it doesn't matter. If you're going to allow your weapons to be stolen and then not immediately go after the people that did it, how am I to think anything other than you were in on it? How is anybody to think other than that?
Wow, you can't say that. Wow, what kind of an accusation? Oh, that's just crazy.
Really? Well, look at the evidence. Leon Panetta said it himself. Well, we couldn't get there on time, so that's why we decided not to send anybody. Why would somebody say we can't get there on time if they didn't know how long it was going to take? So, you know, since we found out yesterday from the 60 Minutes interview, what was his name, that colonel, lieutenant colonel? I think I got him here. Yeah, the Green Beret commander, Lieutenant Colonel Andy Wood. Found out from him. He said, no, this was, for what they were doing, this was definitely pre-planned. And they practiced it until they got it right. If a Green Beret commander is going to tell you that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take his assessment. I'm not going to take somebody like Hillary Clinton, who has no concept of what this man has been through and knows. She has no clue. And if a Green Beret commander is going to tell you that this attack in Benghazi was a pre-planned, practiced, until they got it correct, attack. And shortly before, we come in and there's no security. Security was all taken out, no problem. We got warnings all over the place. Lieutenant Commander warning God and everybody, you're going to get attacked, 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 you're going to get attacked. What do we do? Nothing. Took more security out. And then 400 surface-to-air missiles are stolen. Four American lives are stolen. For what? What did we get out of that? Well, obviously we didn't get anything, and now they're trying to cover it up. So the American people can't find out that we didn't get anything but the loss of 400 surface-to-air missiles and four American lives. Don't think for one damn second that this administration did not know what was going on with Benghazi. If not, he probably pre-planned that attack. I hate to say that. I mean, I'm being a little facetious here, just so people don't freak out. But look, hey, until I can start seeing some evidence somewhere, until this administration starts talking about some things, what the hell else are we supposed to think? We can only go by the evidence that we have before us. But if they're not going to communicate with us and not tell us anything other than, well, that was a long time ago. They were in a dangerous place. You know, people die. What are you going to do? People die. What difference does it make? Come on. Some people live. Some people die. Isn't that right, Miss Sebelius? Cat? Oh, Cat Sebelius. Yeah. It sounds like a beat nickname, doesn't it? Like a late 50s, early 60s. Kind of like Cat Stevens. Cat Sebelius. Yeah. She's a cool cat. Competent boob. Four sources deeply involved in the Affordable Care Act tell NBC News that 50 to 75% of the 14 million consumers who buy their insurance individually can expect to receive a cancellation letter or the equivalent over next year because their existing policies don't meet the standards mandated by the new health care law. They don't meet those standards. They don't have abortion care. That's all this is about. Every policy has abortion in it. That's all they want. They can't wait to just increase abortion, 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 abortion. Why isn't abortion a political issue in the first damn place? But it is. But anyway, why are we even talking about this? We've got, what, 90 million people out of work? $17 trillion in debt, and all these people want to do is kill more babies? How about go out and try to find people jobs so they can take care of those babies rather than just, well, pull them out piece by piece and throw them in a trash can? One expert predicts that number could actually reach as high as 80%. Well, I'm sure it's going to probably even be higher than that. And I'll say that many of those forced to buy pricier new policies will experience sticker shock. Ooh, just in time for Halloween. Ooh. Yeah, you're going to be spooked, all right. You're going to be spooked. Wait till you get that first bill. What the hell? Yeah, what do you break your toe? Got to go into the doctor. What do you mean? I got to pay for all this out of my own pocket. What? I got insurance. I got Obamacare, damn it. Yeah, you do, but you got a huge deductible. And we don't cover prescription drugs that you need. So you had a certain broken toe that needs a special drug. Well, we don't cover that. We cover this. We cover Tylenol. You can get an aspirin. Yeah, but you got to wait at least 6 weeks before we can even come close to even taking a look at that toe. And if it turns gangrene, well, you know, you're probably just going to have to chop it off. Yeah. Well, there's a sawmill down the street. You can just go see them. They'll chop it off for you, probably for nothing. Won't even take but a second. Hell, it won't hurt. Don't worry about it. None of this should come as a shock to the Obama administration. The law states that policies in effect as of March 23rd, 2010 will be grandfathered. Yeah, this is interesting. I seen a peek at this yesterday. This gets interesting. Now listen to this. So the law states that policies in effect as of March 23, 2010 will be grandfathered, meaning consumers can keep those policies even though they don't meet requirements of the new health care law. But the Department of Health and Human Services, Ms. Kat Sebelius, then wrote regulations that narrowed that provision. So they promised you all this, and then after the promises was over, well, then they rewrote the law. They changed it. Did they go through Congress for that? No. They just rewrote it. How can these people just start rewriting law? You can't do that. Congress has to do that. That's a direct violation of not only the Constitution, but the law itself. So the law should be of void based on that. Based on the fact that it wasn't implemented on time. Based on the fact that it didn't go through the proper channels to be changed. I think there is a definite case here. I don't think we got a Supreme Court strong enough to actually handle the damn thing with any kind of competence. But there definitely, in a perfect vacuum, there is definitely a case here to be made that this law is null and void now because this administration changed things without going through Congress. They've made change after change after change. They delay after delay after delay after delay. They have not followed the law to the letter. They have not followed the law. So if you're not following the law, how can the law be void? It's not even up yet. It's not even implemented yet. They can't even get a computer system to work, and they can't even get all the implementations in. Everything's got a waiver here and a waiver there and a waiver here and a waiver there. People aren't signing up. Because they're smart and they know that their prices are going to go up, but is this administration are they coming up and telling you that no, they're doubling down on it's still going to be cheaper. You're still going to have lower prices, absolutely. Yeah, but my premium just it tripled. Nope, it's going to be lower. Don't worry about it. It'll be lower. Oh, nothing to see here. Oh no, just 400 surface air missiles are being, you know, taking out the back door over here, and those, you know, just four American lives on fire. Nothing to see here. No, no, no. Move along. So anyway, they wrote regulations that narrowed the provision, saying that if any part of the policy was significantly changed since that date, either the deductible, the copay, or benefits, for example, well, the policy would, well, not be grandfathered. Buried in Obamacare regulations from July of 2010 is an estimate that because of the normal turnover in the individual insurance market, 40 to 67% of customers will not be able to keep their policy.
But the president said...
Yes, he did. We said, too. You were told that you weren't going to keep it, but you didn't believe it. So you voted for it again because those evil Republicans were racist because they told you the truth, that you were not going to keep your doctor. Your premiums were going to go up. There was going to be more out-of-pocket costs for you. You weren't going to be able to just walk right into any kind of hospital with a broken toe and see your doctor and get it fixed. Those days are now over. You asked for it. You voted for it. Now you got it. Now you're bitching and pissing and moaning? Well, because it affects you? Yeah. Think it was. You thought it was going to affect everybody but you. It was only for those people. Now wait till the unions. Wait till these big companies. Wait till they got to switch over. Then what's going to happen? Uh-oh. Even more people. These people are not going to be happy whatsoever when they got to be forced into this. This is why this needs to be scrapped now. Forty to 67%. Now, I'm sure that number is probably going to be a lot higher. Yeah, President Obama, who had promised in 2009, he said it several times. He said it in 2007 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11, 12 and 13. He doesn't shut up about it. If you like your health plan, you'll be able to keep it, period. Remember when he said that? You like your health plan, you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep it, period. Period, he said, period. If you already have health insurance, well, you could keep your health insurance. You sure can. Until we take it away from you. You know, always keep it in your heart. Always keep that memory inside of you, that wonderful health insurance that you had. and you'll never have it again. Too many Republicans didn't want to stand up and fight. All we needed was a few more of the old guys, the old crew, to stand up and say, you know what? These youngins, they're out there fighting the fight that we used to fight, but we ain't got the poop anymore to fight it. So we're going to stay back over here, and we're going to cheerlead. So we're going to support them at least. Did they know? Call them frauds. Imagine that, fraud. Being called a fraud? Who's the fraud, Mr. King? Seems you are the fraud, Mr. King, which I'm not voting for you again. And yeah, you are in my district, and there's no way in hell that I'm going to vote for you again. And if there's only one other candidate, I don't care if I hate that person or not. I'm not voting for you. I won't vote for anybody, but you are never going to get my vote. You deserve to lose your job, Mr. King. You're done. Hate to be rude, hate to be mean, but damn it. What you did was, you don't know. Mr. Cruz is not a fraud. For working for his constituents, that's not fraudulent. Coming out and telling your constituents that you're working for them, but when you get into Washington, you don't. That, Mr. King, is fraudulent. See what I mean? You are the fraud, Mr. King. You are the fraud. Well, keep up the fight, Mr. Cruz, and all the rest of you. Let's see, what the hell is it? Yeah, if you can keep your plan, yeah, you can keep your insurance. Well, it says that when they made that promise, again, we're going by evidence. We've already known the evidence. We've already seen what's directly in the health care law. So after the health care law was passed, and he still was saying it in 2012, when they made that promise, they knew at least half of the people in the market outright couldn't keep what they had. Never going to lose it. They knew it. But did they tell you? No. They're still telling you it's affordable. Is it affordable? No. How many stories have we heard of people who had health insurance, had a great plan, and, well, they were telling you that they were able to go to Obamacare and, well, not only keep the same kind of plan, but keep the doctor, but we haven't heard of those. But their plan actually lowered $2,500. All you hear about is people have their premiums raised $2,500 at least. So people are getting $10,000, $20,000. There's a lot of people out there who being paying for a lot of other people's insurance. And it's not going to – but we don't have people in the Republican Party who want to stand up and fight that. You know you don't have anybody in the Democratic Party because they're not going to admit that they were wrong. And now they're all trying to start to jump ship a little bit here. They're all trying to move away from this Obamacare. Well, they got to go back to their constituents, and they got to tell them, hey, well, they're not going to be able to sell it. They're going to have these little town halls, and there's going to be a lot of people. They're going to be very angry that they lost their health care. They don't care. They'll find another way to blame the Republicans. They'll get reelected. They just don't care. It doesn't matter to them. Your pain and your misery does not matter to them. They don't feel it. They've never felt it before. That's why they can't see what you really need. They can't help you. They can't work for you. They can't work with you because they don't understand you. You need people in there. You need people in the government. The government is people. We are our government. But when you start putting people in these high-ranking places that have never, they've never had to live on the outside, what it's like to live out of that. Some of them have it for a little bit, but most of them don't. And these are the people deciding how you should live your life. They're going to mandate you that you live your life a certain way. Well, who are these people? I don't need anybody to mandate how I live my life except for me. If I say I'm going to live my life a certain way, then damn it, I'm going to do it. And if I say I'm not, well, then I won't. I don't need no friggin' bureaucrat telling me how to think. Certainly don't need the television. That's why I don't pay attention to it. And I've caught that since I've been a little kid. I've never once had any respect for the media, and I don't think I ever will. Until the media changes. Until they learn their job, which is to report the news. Not create the news. Not report only the news that you want to report. But you report the news, the whole news, and nothing but the news. And if you can't, I'm not interested, Mr. Williams. God almighty, you can fill volumes of what Brian Williams doesn't report.
Oh, but let's get back to the Making a Difference segment. Oh, let's make a difference. Oh.
How about some news, Mr. Williams? How about a little news, huh? Huh, sweetheart? Jack Wagon. White House does not dispute that many in the individual market will lose their current coverage, but argues that they will be offered a better coverage in its place. Oh, and many will get tax subsidies that will offset any increased costs. Well, those tax subsidies are not going to be as, well, substantial as you think they're going to be. You're not going to get them. So forget it. There might be some people that are going to get it, I'm sure. But if you think you're going to get it, well, you're not. And this whole thing that, well, we got rid of those policies because they don't meet the standards. Well, what standards? It's a standard to the consumer, not to the of government. It's up to the individual to decide what they want, not you. Why should you be, I mean, it's bad enough you're forcing them to have to buy a product, but now you're forcing them of what kind of product that they have to buy. Not everybody wants to have abortion insurance, just to let you know. That's all that's about, just so they can give out free abortions. That's all this is about. That's how they got more support for it. They went to the abortion clinics. Yeah, we're going to put a provision in here where we get free abortions. Yeah. So the insurance companies are going to pay you. So these abortion clinics, like Planned Parenthood and whatnot, are going to be making billions off of your money because of the health care. There's a lot of people who stand to make billions. They don't deserve to make billions because they're stealing those billions from you. This entire bill, it's not an act. It has not been implemented. Until it's implemented, it's not an act. Not to mention it was illegally passed. You needed 60 votes. Did we get it? No. He changes the rules. We'll just bring it down to 50 just so we can get it because we have over 50. That was not correct there, Mr. Reed. You understand that was against, like, the Constitution? You know that document? Have you ever heard of that document, Mr. Reed? I'm sorry, but you're a creepy dude, man. You got to go. You're not well, sir. We don't need people like you in our government anymore. We don't need those kinds of people. You've overstayed your welcome. You've caused enough damage. It's time for you to go home. Pack it up and go back to Nevada. I can't stand creepy people, and that is one creepy dude, man. That's all right. He probably thinks I'm a creep, too, so who cares? Anyway, look, if you people vote for him, hey, you deserve him. But you got to keep in the forefront of your mind that there's a lot of people that have to put up with this guy that did not vote for him. Why don't you people research before you go to the voting booth, for God's sakes? I mean, how can you possibly vote for a Harry Reid time after time after time again? Do you people even pay attention to anything that he says? How can you people vote for people like Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi? How do you people vote for these people? Do you not pay attention? Do you not listen to anything that they say? You don't listen to them? Not only are they incoherent, but what is coherent is nonsense, gibberish. It's babbling. Alaskan company suspends Obamacare enrollment, cites faulty subsidy calculator. $600 billion, and they can't design a goddamn website with a calculator in it. A calculator, for God's sakes. I got a little pocket calculator right here. This thing is over 30 years old. It's one of those solar powered, so it does by light, turns on automatically. This thing is over 30 years old. Still works. I use it every day. 21st century, $600 billion, and they can't get a website with a calculator that works. Calculator doesn't calculate. Well, that's because the idiots who design it can't calculate. How about that? Enroll Alaska, an organization that was specifically created to aid Alaskans in enrolling for Obamacare. I wonder what those Eskimos really think of this Obamacare. Like Obamacare? I throw a little whale oil on it and I'm good to go. I don't need no damn Obamacare. These people have been living out there for millions of years. Get their own medicine men. They don't need no friggin' Obamacare. Peninsula Clarion, Enroll Alaska, has been able to enroll a grand total, get this, drum roll, three people since the launch of health insurance marketplaces. It has now given up entirely on that goal. Well, at least until healthcare.gov, the federal healthcare exchange, gives Alaskans accurate figures on the subsidies they're eligible for. Wow, so they shut down, nobody can get anything, nobody can operate, and if you do get it, well, the numbers are going to be wrong. Now, I've thought about this, and I don't know, maybe I said it, maybe I didn't, but something tells me that if they do get it fixed, everybody's going to have to re-sign in again, which is going to create even more problems. I still think that's what's going to happen. People are going to have to re-sign in again because the system either, you know, completely crashed and they had to completely redo it. You're not going to get it completely running smoothly by November 30th. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's a little unrealistic. But maybe it can. I don't know. Maybe it can. But I just have a feeling that something's going to happen. And people, everybody who's enrolled, all five of you who enrolled into Obamacare are going to have to re-enroll. And now you're going to have the question, well, is it going to be right this time? And then you're going to find out that your payment even went up even further. This isn't going to work. How people can possibly think that this is going to work is maddening. You can't possibly think that this Obamacare is going to work at all. Democrats are in charge of it. That tells you right there that it's not going to work. But if you can't see through that, well, then just look at the evidence. Look at all the evidence thus far. Has it been implemented? No. Did your premiums go down? No. Did you keep your doctor? No. Your deductibles go down? No. Out-of-pocket expenses go down? No. No. No, they didn't. They only went up. And they went up, and they went up, and 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 they're only going to keep going up. Welcome to liberal land. You people voted for it. Here you are. You bought your tickets. You knew what you were getting into, and now you want to piss and moan? Don't think so. Not to me. I don't want to hear it. I hear my liberal friends crying and pissing and moaning to me about this crap. Nope, don't want to hear it. Keep it to thyself. You're the one who voted for it. And you were told, and you people, you know that. You know, if you know me, you know I damn good and well told you this crap wasn't going to work. You know damn good and well I told you. We all did. Everybody told you. But did you listen? No, you didn't. And you don't have enough integrity to admit that you were wrong. And it's not about admitting that you're wrong. I don't need to hear you say to me that you were wrong. I already know that you were wrong. I don't need to have you admit it to me. You have to admit it to yourself, not to me. I already know you're wrong. Why do I need to have you tell me that? You have to tell yourself. The next time you have half the country warning you that this guy is not all that's cracked up to be and showing you the evidence, and you believe everything this man tells you, you deserve it. Snake oil salesmen have been around on planet Earth since planet Earth was planet Earth. And there is a sucker born every single day. How do you get suckered into this kind of crap? I don't understand. But, you know, hey, look, you got no one to complain to but yourself. I don't want to hear it. According to Enroll Alaska, the exchange is telling people that they're eligible for a subsidy $100 less than what they actually qualify for. Alaska isn't the only state to have difficulties with the subsidy calculator. Washington State's run health exchange, Washington Health Finder, for approximately 8,000 people, overestimated subsidies. For 8,000 people in Washington State. So there's going to be 8,000 people who thought they were going to get all these subsidies and going to, whoa, wait a minute here, man. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't get any subsidies. Wait a minute. Whoa, what's going on here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you voted for it. You people voted for it. You were told it was going to go, it was going to be more expensive, but the president told you that it wasn't. You believed him. He is a lie. Oh, no. Nearly 1.5 million lose health insurance due to Obamacare. On and on and on. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of these Obamacare woes stories. But I think it's important that we do cover them. We never had a real discussion on health care before. And that's the problem. That's another reason why this health care isn't going to work. There was no discussion with people. There was just a small group, well, a large group of people, but a small group of people got together in back rooms, threw a bunch of crap together in a pile, called it macaroni, and sold it to the American people, whether they wanted to buy it or not. They paid for it. Now that it doesn't work, instead of blaming themselves for not, well, planning it correctly and organizing it and figuring it out and discussing it and, you know, working out kinks, at least on paper, no. It's all the Republicans' fault because of their negative energy. They try to delay it so often, and they got on these news programs, Fox News, and they talked about how bad it was, and they put all this negative energy out there. Nobody wants to sign up for it. You know, it's just not working. It's not our fault. It's a Republican. God almighty. Like, be an adult, for Christ's sakes. You just admit that you screwed up. I can appreciate that. I can respect that. Stop lying to me. I can't respect that. And no one's believing you anyway. How did these people lie like that every single day? I couldn't go to bed at night, knowing I had to tell that many lies a day. I couldn't do it. I mean, it's bad enough telling, you know, a small little lie. I can't lie worth a damn. I'm terrible. First of all, I'm so obvious that I'm lying. It's pathetic. But then when I do lie and get away with it, then I feel guilty about it. I don't like that guilt. But these people, my God, there's no way I could handle it. I would explode. With that much guilt, no way. I couldn't deal with it. No way. So 1.5 million people thus far have lost all of their insurance. By merely adding up recent media reports, the National Center for Public Policy Research discovered that 1.5 million insurance cancellations have already gone out. Oh, dear. Well, that's still most people. It's only 1.5 million out of, what, 300 million? Oh, that's right, but there was 50 million who don't have insurance, so yeah, it's still pretty close to most. Yeah. These cancellations are all due to the Obamacare mandate that requires every health insurance policy to have abortions. You must have the abortion requirement in your policy. If you don't have an abortion requirement, you can't sell it. Ugh. Yeah, but I'm a male. I'm not going to ever get pregnant. Yeah, but you can have a sex change. You need an abortion. Ugh. I was going to say something there, but I'm not going to let that go. But that's what it is. A minimum requirement of one-size-fits-all Cadillac plan that forces people to pay coverage for neither what they want nor they need. Little old ladies do not need abortion policies. Sorry, but they don't. During his sales job to pass his signature health insurance plan, King Obama repeatedly and without qualification promised the American people that if you liked your insurance plan, you could keep it. You can keep it, damn it. Don't listen to those Republicans. They're haters. They're racists. You listen to me. I'm the savior. I'm your king, damn it. The king also promised everyone that their premiums would decrease and that he would never raise taxes on the middle class. We're not going to raise taxes. I'm going to fight for that middle class. You've destroyed the middle class. There is no middle class. What middle class? Taking it away. The middle class has never been, it's more and more every day are getting out of middle class. They're going down, down, and down. There's a few people standing up that are getting rich, and they're all liberals. But see, it's only the Republicans that are rich people. Because they don't pay their fair share. Even though they pay the majority of the tax bill, but they don't pay their fair share. They need to pay more. Pay, pay, pay. So, Obama promised that everyone that the premiums would decrease and that would never raise taxes on the middle class. Never once am I going to raise taxes on the middle class. Well, Mr. Obama, you have raised taxes on the middle class. You just did it in the form of something other than taxes. Obamacare, you raised a tax. Obamacare is a tax. According to the Chief Justice, Mr. Roberts, the traitor, said that Obamacare is only good, only constitutional, if it is a tax. So yes, sir, you did raise taxes on the middle class. Every time you turn around, you are getting taxed for something. You've got a fee for this and a fee for that and a fee for this and a fee for that. This is out of control. If the government has to tack on all these extra fees and taxes and this and that to do what they want to do, they're obviously mismanaging their money. They don't deserve any more. We cannot keep having our taxes more and more. They're just wasting it. They're not spending it where it needs to be spent. It's going into the hands of people that it shouldn't go into the hands of anybody. That money is to spend and pay our bills. Those people that are on the government payroll, whether they be law enforcement or teachers or whatever, that's it. We don't have special plans and special pet projects that are going to get you reelected. Those projects should come locally. Now, granted, if there's a big project that's going to benefit the entire United States and it just happens to be in one state, okay, that's one thing. But you don't put something like that in a bill that's going to open the government back up for $2.9 billion. When the whole reason you were holding up the government was because of overspending. So to open the government, you accept a $2.9 billion pork sandwich, Mr. McConnell. I cannot let you get away with that. Unbelievable. And with all these problems, all these people losing their insurance, already 1.5 million have lost insurance strip for them. And if the Congressional Budget Office is correct, which, first of all, I don't like quoting the CBO, first of all, they're a bunch of hacks that only get, they only quote whatever they're given to quote, whatever they're told to quote, this is what it is. They're only told what to quote by what they are given, the information that they're given. So if they're given a bill that hasn't been completely written yet and has certain things in it to make it look like it's a certain way, they're going to have no choice but to think it's a certain way. But we all know as soon as it comes out of the CBO, before it's finally voted on, it's completely revamped. Nobody's stupid. Now the CBO is saying that even more than 1.5 million already. It's going to keep getting more and more. The bottom line is you're not going to be able to keep your health care insurance. Once you get into Obamacare, your plans are gone. Your doctor, you're going to get a different doctor. It's just the way it's going to be. Once these unions, all these waivers, there's waivers that can only last for so long. Once these waivers are up, all these people are going to be forced back in, or forced into Obamacare, and then they're really going to be hot. Hopefully by then we'll have it repealed, but we need people to stand up and fight, Mr. McCain. Mr. McConnell, hello? We don't need people. Well, we can't do that. Well, it's the wrong time to fight. We, you know, we just need to come together and we can do, we can work this out in 2016 when we get a new president and he'll strip it away, but that's not necessarily guaranteed. You see a fight, you must fight it immediately. You don't wait. You don't wait to fight the fight the next day. You're going to lose. Like I said the other day, that's exactly what happened in the Civil War. South could have won the war the second day of Gettysburg. They could have won the whole smash. But they decided to sleep because they were tired. They could have conquered the Northern Army that night. But they didn't. And what happened the next day? They woke up all refreshed. They got their asses handed to them. Then the next day, well, they were heading back home. Head between the legs. So you don't wait to fight the fight. You see a fight, you fight it, Mr. McCain. That's just the way it is. Now the White House is still promising that you can keep your health insurance if you like it. It's on their website. And I'm going to read it to you right here. Right here. Big, huge red letters. Health care that works for Americans. Really? Huh. How's that working out so far? I can't find anybody so far that I've seen in the news or even heard of, even read. Any kind of success with this. But it says it right here in big, bold, red letters. Health care taken right off the health care website. Oh, did you notice that they got rid of the girl, the smiling glitch girl, they're calling her. She probably requested it, and I don't blame her. You know, as a model, sometimes they sign up on waivers to do certain things, and she might have known that it was going to be on the website, or she might have not known. It could have been for anything. But she probably requested to get her face off of there with all these woes. She didn't want to be seen as the, you know, the glitch girl, what they're calling her, going down the street. Oh, yeah, that's the Obama glitch girl. Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, her safety. You know, they probably had to take her down. Unbelievable. I kind of feel sorry for her, you know. Nice looking enough lady and all, but. On March 23rd, 2010, this is directly on the website. Underneath these big, bold, red letters, health care that works for Americans. It works for Americans. It works for you. Big, bold, red letters, health care that works for Americans. And underneath, On March 23rd, 2010, President Obama signed the Affordable Care Act into law, putting in place comprehensive reforms. Yeah, those are nice words, isn't that? Comprehensive reforms. Which means they just took something and just completely blew it out of proportion and screwed it up to the point where it can never be unscrewed again. Those are your comprehensive reforms. That's what that means. Comprehensive reforms that improve access to affordable health coverage for everyone and protect consumers. Get this. Protect consumers from abusive insurance company practices. This is on their website. Abusive insurance company practices. Excuse me. Abusive practices? Okay, spending trillions of dollars of the American taxpayers' money and getting absolutely nothing in return for it, and because you didn't get anything in return, you're going to spend more. Stimulus packages, health care packages, this, that, everything else. That is abusive practices. The mismanagement of your of our money that you spent, $600 million or $600 billion, whatever the hell the stupid number is, it doesn't matter, on a website that doesn't work, and you deliberately made sure that it didn't work, and you're going to sit here and tell me that that's not abusive practice? This is on their website. See, it's never their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And if you can't find anybody at fault, just blame a Republican. It's all you got to do, and you're done. So anyway, there's more to this that's on their website. Right here. This isn't edited or anything. You can get on the website. You can go on there and you can see it's right here. For those Americans who already have health insurance, this is in smaller letters than the other letter, than the other one I just read about the abusive insurance practices, the abusive practices. Okay, now it's in smaller letters underneath. It says, for those Americans who already have health insurance, the only changes you will see under the law are new benefits. Abortions. That's all that is. New benefits means you get an abortion. Are new benefits. Better protections. That's free condoms to Ms. Fluke. That's what that means. From insurance company abuses. So they go ahead and they double down on that. They say that again. So it's the insurance company abuses. So now they've got the people thinking, oh, insurance company, they said it twice. Abusive insurance companies? The government is saying the insurance companies are abusive? Well, I got to believe them. They got to be right. They're abusive. The government's not. The government is abusive, and if you can't see where, how, why, when, you deserve it. I cannot feel sorry for people who have all these self-inflicted wounds because they flat refuse to open their eyes and pay attention. So anyway, the only changes you will see under the law are new benefits, better protections from insurance company abuses, and more value for every dollar you spend on health care. Really? More value? If you like your plan, you can keep it, and you don't have to change a thing due to the health care law. That is on their website. Again, they are lying to you. Again, and people still just can't help themselves. They have to believe the king. He's our savior. Oh. All right, let's get into some sound bites here. This is from yesterday on the White House press briefing. Mr. Jay Carney, Ed Henry presses Mr. Carney on why people can't keep their plans. Now, this poor bastard, this is Jay Carney. I mean, he can't. Oh, and this guy, He's got to get tired of trying to come up with a non-answer. I mean, but he's doing pretty good at it. So, anyway, go ahead with Carney number one. Go.
The last one, there was a woman on CBS this morning when you say it's substandard and now people will be, you know, it'll be better for them from a cost standpoint. 56-year-old woman in Florida on CBS said she was paying $50 a month for health insurance. Now it's going to be $500 a month. And she said, quote, what I have right now is what I'm happy with. I just want to know why I can't keep what I have. Why do I have to be forced into something else? What's your response to that one?
Again, individual cases, I cannot address. I don't know that woman's particular circumstance. What is true is that subsidies are available to individuals that are not necessarily reflected if they just look at premium prices. Remember, even before the Affordable Care Act was rolled out on October 1st, premiums were published that were the level set prior to what you would be paying if you received a subsidy.
Answer the freaking question!
Nearly 50% of the people we're talking about here would qualify for a subsidy. Secondly, again, I don't know the individual experience, but the fact of the matter is millions of Americans are going to have available to them insurance coverage that they have never had and quality insurance that they've never had. Insurance coverage that does not contain within it caps on your life, on your annual expenses that you missed in the small print, or caps on your lifetime expenses, or they cover
mental health
service.
All right, enough. Get him off. Get him off. My God. What the hell was that? What kind of an answer is that? You know, if these people don't want to answer the question, you know, he should have said this. You know, Ed, I just don't want to answer the question because if I do, I'm going to expose my boss and I'm going to lose my job. So I'm going to shut up. That's at least telling the truth. Here you got this little old lady who went from $50 to $500 and now has to get abortion insurance. And she's pissed off and wants to know why. So Ed Henry goes ahead and asks the White House press secretary, you know, hey, how come this lady can't keep her insurance? The president said she could. And now this chick went from $50 a month to $500 a month. She wants to know why she can't keep her plan. She doesn't need abortion insurance. She likes the plan that she has. To her to decide what she wants. Like when you go to you go buy a new car. Well, it's up to you to decide what kind of car you want to buy. If you've got the money to buy it, you'll buy whatever the hell you want. But now you got a government telling you, well, you can't buy that blue one. You need to buy that red one over there.
Yeah.
Well, because the blue one doesn't match your eyes as well as that red one. And we don't like the blue one over here. We want you to have the red one. Oh, okay. And he goes on and on and on. What does he say? Does he answer the question? Hell no. There is no answer other than, yeah, the president lied, and you are not going to be able to keep your health insurance. Your insurance is going to go up. Your deductible is going to go up. Out-of-pocket costs are going to go up. Prescription drugs are going to go up. Everything's going to go up, and you're going to be taxed more. And you're not going to have any more money in your pocket. Those days of going on vacations are over. You're not going to be poor like the rest of the world, and you're going to like it. It's your fault for getting rich and getting greedy and having fun in life. So now we're going to take that away from you. You do not deserve it. We are the government. We deserve to have fun. You deserve to work for us. All right, now let's go to cut number two. This is Chuck Todd, who dare ask the king's jester who misled the president.
Said it's a website where you can compare and purchase affordable health care plans the same way you shop for a plane ticket on a kayak. Who misled him? Who misled the president on this? Are you telling me 5 days before that somebody let the president go out to the American public to give this speech and say this and make this promise? In fact, the next line is, I promise you, this is a lot easier. It's like booking a hotel or a plane ticket. Who let him down?
The president's frustrated. He made that clear in his remarks today. And
oh, yeah, he's frustrated. He made that clear.
On
it was in his teleprompter.
Improvements so that the millions of Americans who want affordable health insurance are getting the best consumer experience possible.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get the best consumer experience possible. How can these people come out and say that? First of all, Chuck, nobody misled the president. The president knew what was going on. The president directed, or actually the president misled us. It wasn't anybody misleading the president. The president misled the American people. That's who misled who. What you should have asked, Chuck, is why did the president mislead the American people? That should have been your question. Of course, there's, you know, no answer, save a few stale, moldy talking points. Oh, we're going to work for the middle class, and we will strengthen and build the economy. Yeah. Stock off-the-shelf generic answers. All right, and the next one here, this is Jay Carney informing Chuck Todd, another Chuck Todd clip here, that he is not an expert and hasn't written any code. Ah, you haven't written any code. You? What do you know about computer programming? You haven't written any code. You don't know. Well, it doesn't take much to know that, if your program doesn't work, you don't need to be a tech expert to know that the program is written badly, that is flawed. Hello? All right, go ahead. Get this over with. Jay Carney, cut number three.
As I mentioned earlier, I think, is that there's no question that the volumes exceeded substantially expectations, and that the testing that was done was based on
issue. Adding a server would have fixed it in a heartbeat.
Well,
that isn't the
issue,
right?
I'm pretty confident you're not a.
I'm not a computer scientist,
haven't written code in your day, but
you haven't written code.
It's fixable fast.
Well, what I would tell you is, as I said earlier, is that the volume far exceeded, and that the volume both created problems because of how large it was.
Oh, yeah, all the volume. All the people
problems,
so
glitches and kinks with the system that are being addressed.
Glitches, kinks.
You're not going to get an argument from here that this has not been frustrating. The president himself made that clear.
Oh, president.
But
yeah,
what he's
frustrated.
Focused on is making the consumer experience better for Americans. Because even through this process, nearly 20 million folks, there have been nearly 20 million visits to
the... 20 million? See, that's part of the talking points there. 20 million people have been interested in Obamacare, got on the website. But isn't there now, weren't they saying that there were 50 million people that were uninsured? 50 million people were going to be insured? But only 20 million people have looked up and the system can't handle that? There's 20 million people who supposedly looked on the website, which that 20 million, you've got to remember that if you go on the website, you get kicked off and you go back on again, okay, you've already went on there twice. So every time you go on there, okay, that counts as one. So it's not 20 million individual people that have gone onto the website. It could have been one person got on there 100 times. Somebody else got on there 50 times. Somebody else got on there, it could be 1,000 times. That's all it is. 20 million individual people that have gone on there. These are just 20 million clicks. Well, you click onto that, and then you go to your Twitter, and then you go back to healthcare.gov. Well, that's two. Two clicks. So that's what that number means. And you don't have to be able to write code to know that the designers didn't design the website very good. Otherwise, if they did, the damn thing would be working. I mean, hello? There's only one or two choices. Personally, I think it's kind of a combination of both. But either you had a very incompetent companies writing this code, don't know what the hell they're doing, or B, you have the administration telling these people to write the code a certain way and knowing full well that it's not going to work and it's done deliberately. Personally, I think it's a combination of both. This administration, speaking of combinations, this administration has a very bad a combination of being incompetent and being competent. In other words, they're incompetent and they know exactly what the hell they're doing. And when you put that combination together, that is a very, very dangerous, very, very dangerous chemical. You do not want that getting out. That will spread. That will explode. It is a very, very flammable liquid. It must be put in an airtight container and frozen. Never let out again. Never see the light of day. Can't get that. So, all right, let's try number four. Cut number four, Jay Carney. See this Chuck Todd again. Yeah. What happens on here? Oh, Chuck Todd tries to get Jay Carney to admit that the administration doesn't know what or where the problems are. Chuck Todd's actually been pushing this guy. He pushes Jay Carney. I don't know if it's deliberate or not. I mean, Chuck Todd, I don't really trust him because he is a blind liberal. But he does push. I do got to hand it to him. He does, for a liberal, he does push other liberals. And I think he is on to something. But he doesn't go all the way because he knows that, you know, that he can't. He's going to lose his job. But he's at least hinting on some things. So go ahead and listen. Let's listen to cut number four. Jake,
you
go.
You haven't had those options available to them in the past.
Why should we assume when HHS puts out in this blog post last night that they brought in this tech surge, brought in people on the outside? That seems to send the message they don't know what the problem is. Is that fair? I mean,
I think you should assume that they identified problems and glitches that need to be fixed.
Yeah, we identified.
And they brought in this team to continue the effort. And to put in place tools and processes to monitor and identify parts of the websites where individuals are encountering errors.
Wouldn't you be screaming up and down? We have found the problem. We're working on a solution.
I think we are finding problems and we're working on solutions. I can't, you know, the part of when you have tech experts at any major tech operation, you're constantly monitoring your operations, finding glitches and problems and fixing them, and that's what they're doing here.
Finally, is there?
Yeah, they're finding all these glitches and problems, and they're fixing them. You've had 3 years to find the glitches and kinks and fix them. 3 years to build a website. You claim there are 50 million people that are uninsured, and your website can only handle 50,000 people a day. But here you've had 20 million clicks, and it's blown the system. And you've got 50 million to put on there. But you only need 7 million to make the plan work. Am I the only one who cannot connect the mathematical dots here? It's obvious these numbers are pulled directly out of their ass. They are arbitrary and baseless. It's whatever number works for them at the time that they need it. We only need 7 million? We only need 7 million. We need 50 million because of the Republicans? They sent all the jobs overseas, and there's 50 million people uninsured because Republicans are haters and they're racist? Yeah, they'll use that 50 million number. They don't know what the hell the problem is. The problem is them. That's what the problem is. And they just can't help themselves of blaming somebody else. It's like it's habitual. Boom, it's immediate. It's like instinctual. It's just a natural instinct to just blame somebody else. Oh, it's not our fault. No, problems, we're out looking for the problems, and it's all Republicans. It's everybody else's fault, it's not ours. So now we go into Jay Carney. Somebody switched gears and said, okay, I'm done talking about this Obamacare. I'm going to start talking here about the IRS. Well, again, you get a very long, drawn-out, pathetic non-answer to the lady's question. So go ahead, Jay Carney, cut number five, go.
Jessica. Okay, you say check our history, rapid commentary, but you have to understand and hear how it sounds like the administration might be hiding something. So can we take these one at a time? On the IRS on Friday, they gave one version of the story that's changed several times since then. So can you just say plainly, does the president believe that they're being truthful, and does he think that the leadership there needs to change?
Well, I don't understand how that tracks with your first sentence about assertion here. We have seen the reports, as the president said, and if the reports are true, he would consider them outrageous.
Even this IRS has acknowledged that some of this wrongdoing has happened. So the president and this administration could agree.
And I think you heard the president say yesterday that if it turns out to be the case. And again, there's a lot of reporting, not all of it complimentary, some of it contradictory.
There was
IRS
personnel, which sounded like it was isolated. We've now learned that it was...
How could IRS personnel be isolated? That could be the entire agency. I mean, it's... Well, he's facing
it.
But Jessica, he's facing.
Is he concerned that this is a broader problem?
He's concerned by the. He's concerned by every report he sees on this. You can believe that he is concerned by that.
Oh,
that is why he looks forward to finding out what the IG report says, and then deciding what next steps need to be taken, if and who needs to take them. And that's, you know, instead of rushing to conclusions, or
conclusions.
You know,
good. God. Oh, you know, instead of rushing to conclusions and going all this, just wait till the IG fills out its report, and we've had a couple of committee hearings on it, and then, you know, it's done through this and done through that, and then, you know, watered down, and eventually the media will forget about it before we even take a look at it, and then when we do take a look at it, we'll forget about it, and we won't have to worry about it anymore. In other words, don't ask me any questions about the IRS anymore, because we're guilty of sin and we don't want to have to come out and admit it. So we're going to avoid your questions. That's what that is. Why nobody was fired in the IRS is just, it tells me that this administration had to be connected to it. If this administration had no idea what was going on in the IRS, do you think for one second that the president does not, first of all, doesn't have the power? I believe Congress should have the power, and I do believe they do. But if this president was truly, completely unaware of the IRS's actions and what they were doing to the Tea Party, completely oblivious, don't you think immediately his first reaction would be to fire the hell out of people in the IRS? Don't you think that that's what happened? No. Some of them got a promotion. What the hell was her name? She's running the she's running something with the healthcare part of the IRS now, where when you sign up, she's in charge of that. She gets a promotion. Lois Lerner, well, she gets a chance to retire, full bennies. She gets all of her nice little healthcare and her little monthly check. She's going to be doing just fine. She should be in jail. A lot of people should be in jail for what they did with the IRS. You can't cheat the government, so why can the government cheat you? You cheat the government, you go to jail. So if the government cheats you, those individuals in the government, they should go to jail. Lois Lerner should be in prison. And that other chick, I can't think of her name. Gray-haired lady. She's now in charge of something at the IRS with your health care. I can't think of her cockamamie name right now. She's got, I think, one of those hyphenated names. She's a pain in the ass. She should be in jail. Our Justice Department should be in jail for Fast and Furious alone. Our State Department should be in jail for Benghazi. A lot of people should be in jail for NSA for what they were doing. How the NSA allowed anybody to steal any information out of there to begin with. Now, I know there's been people that have stolen information, but these have been people that have been in the system for a long time, and they've worked their way up, and they got into certain places. They weren't people that were hired for, like, what, 2 or 3 months, don't even have a high school education, and they're able to just extract all this information? No. That's incompetence on the IRR, the NSA for allowing that information to be stolen. There's no reason that Mr. Snowden should even be seeing that kind of information, much less being able to steal it and then fly to China and then to Russia. That's incompetence on the NSA. There's incompetence up and down on every agency in this government. There needs to be a lot of agencies taken out. We don't need near as many agencies as we have. Oh my God, look at that time. We're almost done here. Let me see. We already know that you're spending twice as much on global warming than we do on border security. And that's not a problem with anybody? Nobody has a problem with that. New estimates show the federal government will spend nearly twice as much fighting global warming this year than on U.S. border security. God. God almighty. And what do we get with this global warming? What are we getting from this? How do you fight global warming with money? Seems like you would fight global warming with ice. Right? How do you fight global warming with money? What are you spending that money on? The money's going directly into pockets. People like the Al Gores and all these people that love to promote global warming and blame Republicans for it. They write a book. They give a speech. And they make millions of dollars off of you because you're stupid enough to give this person millions of dollars. And you think by your money that you give this person is going to stop the planet from getting overheating and melting. The planet's going to do what the planet's going to do. We can't do a damn thing about it. That's arrogant to think that the human race can actually change the course of the climate. Climate is too big. We can't change that. Now we can do certain things. You know, you can make temporary rain cloud. You can do certain things like that, but it's artificial. But that's not going to change the climate. We don't have any control over the climate. Distance from the sun, our angle of our axis, these are things that have control over our climate. All this pollution is not going to make the planet hotter. Pollution will make it might make it colder. We don't have the ability to change climate. We can fix the pollution. We don't need to pollute the air as much as we do. Of course, the planet itself gives out a hell of a lot more pollution than we ever even could imagine giving out. But that's a whole other story. But needless to say, yeah, we shouldn't be stupid with pollution, so we don't have to breathe it. But we can't be stupid by just getting rid of technology because you just passed a piece of legislation saying that we need to have new technology because you passed a piece of legislation saying that new technology should exist. That means it will exist. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Why don't you people who want all this crap to change, why don't you go out and invent stuff? Go out and invent an engine that doesn't run on gas. Go out and invent solar power panels that actually work. Why don't you go out and invent a windmill? Go out and invent these things. Don't just sit back and bitch, piss, and moan and blame Republicans and then pass a piece of legislation saying that new technology does exist. Go out and do it. Make it. Then you got something to say. Then you got something for people to believe in you on. All right, that's about it. We'll have to get the rest of this tomorrow. I'm going to cover the NSA. I'm sorry, we just ran out of time, and that's because I just don't shut up. It's not my fault. I'm just a talker, so what the hell are you going to do? So, anywho, I will see you back here tomorrow at 10 sharp. Don't be late. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 10. Goodbye.